Okay. Let's go real quick. We're in the middle. Are you ready, Ellie?
Mm-hmm. It's going.
Okay, we're in the middle of this Sif-Hay, right? You saw all the different ways to be Matir. Of course, throw them up. Three, four, if you count them. Summon. Ways to be Matir relying on a Maka. The first one was Toot Sudden Lahakel, even if you don't know the Maka's bleeding. But if you add the fact that you have a Vesas Kavuan, it's not Shazvesti, you can be Makel, which the Akronim didn't like, certainly not for like regular Hilchus Nida. Then was the Sfik Sfik of the Rama, which is also very controversial, and most of the Akronim didn't like, and also doesn't come up a lot nowadays because, as we pointed out, it's only Sfik Sfika. If there's a Maka in the Mukar that you don't know if it's bleeding or not, that's pretty rare to have a Maka in your Mukar that you don't know if it's bleeding. Because if the Maka's in the Studim, then there's no Sfik Sfika, as we pointed out. Okay, so let's go to the last case, the Rama. Says the Rama, where am I reading from? Before the Chaf Gimel of the Shachar, and you do a Shabbat in a Makar, Afpi Sheish Lamaka B'Makar, Ein Yotolo B'Makar, Im Ein Lo Veses Kavua, Elam Kein Yudas B'Vad, Shemakos Moti Adam. Right, basically, says the Rama, if you don't have a Veses Kavua and you don't have a Safik Tzadim, you don't have a first Tzadim, you can only be Tola if you know for sure that the Maka is Moti Adam. This everyone has to hold like, because the Segara says that if she has a Maka, remember we had two ways to parse the sentence, then you can be told on the Maka, at the very least, if you know that the Maka is bleeding. And this is a sort of practical heter b'zman hazeh. The practical heter is, if you know that the Maka is bleeding, then you can be tola on the Maka. The Pisli Tshuva here quotes from the Noda Bihuden, Chavtes, that the Noda Bihuden says, that's only when you have Cheskes Tara. When you're Cheskes Toma, even if you know the Maka is bleeding, you can't be Tola on it. As we saw earlier, if you look back, you know, in the Chavos Das, the cotton hay in the back, he says, what do you mean? So, the Noda Bihuden says, so during Shemini Kiyum, you can't be Tola on any Maka, because you're Cheskes Toma. Okay, the Minig is not like that. The Minig is like the Bris Avram and the Chavos Das, who say that, no, during the Shiva Nikim, you're Becheskes Tara. We assume during Shiva Nikim, you're considered Becheskes Tara. And therefore, you can be Tola B'maka Sheyadua Shemotzi Adam, even during Shiva Nikim, and that's my Simchayom, that if a woman has a Maka that we know is bleeding, you're Tola on it, even during Shiva Nikim. Okay, what's considered a Maka that you know is bleeding? So number one, there's a Maka that you know. You know, you know that Maka is bleeding through some medical way, or you saw the Maka bleeding. But the Achronim assume, if you look in the Taz here at the end of this long Sifkatan, I don't even know what Sifkatan is, because it starts 8 pages ago, Sifkatan Yud in the Taz. The end of Sifkatan Yud in the Taz. The last few lines say, there's like a two dots, V'od Nirlin Yizdaiti, Sh'im B'Sh'as HaKev Motzas Dam, Mucha Milsa Dimenu Huba. If you find out, like it bleeds, it hurts at a certain point, and then you find blood at exactly that time, then you know that that's a Maka Mutzi Adam. So even if you don't have like direct scientific evidence that the Maka is bleeding, but at a certain point something hurts and then blood comes out, you know the Maka is bleeding. Okay, Motzar Afla Achshiv Sokakev Motzas Dam, and then even afterwards, once you know the Maka is bleeding, then from then on you can call it a Maka Shiadu Motzi Adam, and you can be told on it. Nira Dibi Tams is also Adam, Shem Bishas Akev, and the Shazet, just left over from that time. Moshikos for Ramam Sim Kov Tzadi Yalaf. Ayim Ashik Safti Sham, the Chuvas Sheila. Va'o Nira Li, Imi Shmaka Shur Gilim Nashmache Ros Liris Dam Mimaka Kazo, Afi Shizo Eni Odas, Yishlit Los Bamaka, Kay Nira Lenis Daiti. He also says this is a big chiddush. What if you have a maka, you don't know if it's bleeding, but you know that other people have similar makas and they bleed? That's considered a maka sheyadua shemotzi adam. So a lot of mice are pretty makel on the getter of a maka that you know to be bleeding, that you can be tola on. We're only tola on a maka that you know is bleeding. But you don't have to mamish, like, have absolute proof that it's bleeding. If you know that the blood, some blood started when this makkah hurt, that counts as knowing it's bleeding. Or if you know there's a makkah that generally bleeds, that counts as a makkah that you know is bleeding. Halacha l'maisa, how do we use these? Let's just give some. Yeah.
You want me to say that that's only if it's a vessel's anal?
No, it doesn't make a difference in the vestos. This just maka alone is the best heter. You have to know it's bleeding, but again, knowing it's bleeding could be these two things that it says here in the Taz. Let's just give some halachal nice examples of this. Let's talk about maka in the makor, or a maka in the tzadim. A maka in the makor nowadays, you know, the most common cases of maka in a makor are not that a woman has some disease, which could happen, but usually that there's a medical procedure. You know, normally women don't have a medical procedure in the makor, but sometimes they might. So the doctor goes into the makor and he cuts or something in the makor, you insert an instrument to the makor, and you cause an injury. So the assumption is, like, how do we know what's in the makor? You know, so it could be if the doctor puts an instrument with a video camera and you see, here's a maka and here it's bleeding, then you could be told on that. Or, based on the Taz here, if the doctor, he does a procedure in the makor, and this is the normal procedure, right? He's done this 1,000 times, and this procedure generally causes bleeding, that's a maka, shimadush, shimotzi adam, and you can be told in it. Okay, some of the Sfarim have a list of every procedure or whatever, you have to ask doctor, you know, every procedure, is this a procedure that we'll see a dam or not? But it's pretty common that a woman can have a procedure in the makor. Again, it's not common for women to have a procedure in the makor at all. Many women will never in their whole life have any procedure in the makor. But it's still common on the whole, and some people will have this. And then they can be told on this. This is a little controversial, let me just point out. It's a little controversial. There are some people, Rabbi Forst even, I didn't bring a sefer here. He says, no, any bleeding from the makor, you know, it might not have really been a wound. Maybe the doctor just like pressed on the endometrial lining where the damnida collects and like, you know, squeezed out some damnida. And therefore he's very nervous to ever be makel on a procedure in the makor nowadays. However, and there are some poskim like that, but that's not I don't think it's the majority of psak. That's not what we follow. We assume like Rav Shlomo Zalman says. If you look here, I have a Nishmas Avraham, Chelik Beis, page 81. Nishmas Avraham is by Dr. Avraham. Okay, but he has psukim from various, this is one of the most famous chashuv books of medical halacha.
Force would say that even if the doctor presses on the lining and blood comes out, that's considered nida.
Yes. What he's assuming is that if you cause damnida to flow even through some artificial means, that's not a makor. The truth is that Rosh Shlomo Zalman also says this. What does he go from Rosh Shlomo Zalman? He says a little bit. He says that he quotes it from Shlomo Zalman, page 81. Dam nida hu rak adam sheyotze me'elo kedarko b'ofen tibi. Dam nida is only dam that's yotze b'ofen tibi. That comes out in the normal sense. He doesn't have to mean it's normal. You can have a hormonal imbalance. He just means it comes out through the inner workings of the body, right? But even if it's me'osam gidim shefak mishas vessels, even if you're getting the blood from the vessels that the menstrual blood comes from, but if it's coming through a maka, then we are mako. So we normally assume the chazanish is a big machlok. Is exactly what chazanish meant. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it's only if it comes out naturally that it's damnida. If it comes from that place, but due to an injury, then that's damaka, not damnida. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's mutter. You can be told on a medical procedure. He's a little nervous if it's the day of your period. He says then maybe it's hard to tell. Maybe it also caused some damnida to come out. But in general, he also quotes from Rosh Shlomo Zalman's Talmud Mofak, Rav Neuberth, Baal Shemir Shabbos Kolchasa, is also making it like this. L'maisa, the accepted minhag is that, not to say if the doctor did some procedure that just, like, I don't know, moved around a little, then we're not going to run to Mako. Who knows? Maybe, like, he just, like, touched something and then caused a little reaction and some of the blood flowed out. But if the doctor actually makes a cut, right? A cut is, you know, is a... is even if it's in the place of the Dam Nida, but if the doctor actually made a cut, we're minig like for Shlomo Zalman, that if the doctor actually cut something, which most of these procedures do, then that's Dam Maka, we're told that even if he cut something where the Dam Nida was, and caused like Dam that would have become Dam Nida to flow, but it flowed because of a cut, not because of a natural process of the body. And Pashas, that's where Chazanish means also, the Chazanish is... statements are hiding in various letters published in random places. Halacha l'maisa, we assume, it's a big machlokas, we assume bottom line that if a doctor just does a procedure in the makor, we don't know, that's not necessarily a maka. But if the doctor actually does something that cuts something in the makor, which is usually often the procedure in the makor do, if the doctor actually makes a cut or wound, an injury in the maka, then even if he makes an injury in a place where there was a dam that soon would have become dam nida, it doesn't matter since it's caused by an injury, like Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, that is dam maka. And if the doctor made a cut, everyone knows a cut is mutziya dam. That's what a cut does. And therefore, we are told in it. So, halacha l'maisa, every procedure is different. But those procedures which actually cause a, you know, physical trauma, a cut inside the makor, we're told that the dam that comes after those, woman finds dam when she comes home after that or during that, that's dam maka, and we're told because that's a maka that's known to be motzi dam. And even if you're on a video camera, you see it. But if this procedure always causes the maka motzi dam, then that counts the maka that we know is motzi dam.
How long will we let her be told that?
So generally, we ask the doctors, you know, how long is a procedure like this supposed to bleed? And that's how long will we tell her.
He says a week, then doesn't matter how much dam she sees or when her...
No, you have to use common sense. I mean, most of these procedures bleed a little. So obviously, if she starts having a big flow of blood, then you know that's not for the maka. You still have to use common sense. But, but you're told that, all else being equal. You know, it all depends. Most procedures only cause a little blood. What a cut. They don't, like, rip out the whole thing. They make a little cut, right? Doctors nowadays make small cuts, not big cuts. So, usually she'll be able to tell if she gets her period anyway. There are also some cases of old-fashioned makas, like just diseases in the uterus. But again, those are not quite as common nowadays, and they're pretty well diagnosed. And if you really have some terrible disease in your uterus, the doctor will know exactly what's motzia, what, etc. We won't really have to do much guesswork. And you'll know, it's a maka, you do a shemotzia dam or not, because they're probably going to do a million ultrasounds or x-rays or whatever it is they do and see exactly what's going on. We don't have as many of them as they used to. How about, yeah?
So, just going back to the... So that machlokas between R'Forsen and Rosh Hashanah is if it comes out naturally or not.
That machlokas R'Forsen says we're always worried that it might have. R'Forsen says we're. Oh, I don't have him here. Okay, now he says we're always worried that it might have just like put some pressure and that pressure dislodged some menstrual blood and it wasn't mamisha cut. It was just like a dislodging of menstrual blood. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, no. If it's a natural process, that's one thing. If it's an injury, then we don't worry. We don't say, oh, maybe the injury just dislodged some menstrual blood. No. Even if it dislodges menstrual blood, if it's dislodged through an injury, then that is considered a maka and not dam nida. And that's what we assume. How about in the beis achitzon, the tzadim, as we say? So this is a very, very common issue nowadays. Again, I don't know what it was like in the old days. Maybe people are sensitive now than they are in the old days. And they're definitely more sensitive emotionally now than the old days.
Just to clarify, if the doctor physically makes a... manually makes menstruation occur.
That's tricky.
That would be not needed.
So here it gets tricky. There's a place where it's unclear where to draw the line. The doctor does something that causes our hormonal reaction that makes menstruation. That's fitza. That we assume. Yeah, that we assume is real bamida. So it doesn't have to happen naturally on its own. Kfitza, right? So the question is, the difference is it through physical trauma or is it through just causing a reaction? If it's through causing a reaction, then that's bamida. That's versus kfitza.
But if he like, if it's through physical trauma, mining,
like scraping, then we assume like Shlomo Zalman. If he scrapes, which often they do, they scrape something or they take a biopsy, you know, take a little piece of tissue, etc. So, I mean, every situation is a little different, and there are some procedures which there are some procedures which might like have a trauma, but we know they also cause some hormonal reaction in rare cases. But in general, like if the doctor does a biopsy or something, then we assume, you know, he or does something else which generally cause cuts or whatever, then even if it was what's called the endometrial lining, which is where the damnita fills up till, as a solid till it's ready to liquefy and come out at the end of the month, then we assume as long as it's caused by an injury and not by a hormonal reaction, that that is damaka and that's mutter. Okay, but each procedure is different. You really got to ask a doctor on each procedure. But many procedures cause bleeding through cuts. The more common case is in the tzedakah. Often women have sensitivity, and especially the problems with the doing bedikos. First of all, it could be during tashmish, like the case here, right? Maybe they have sensitivity in the tashmish. It would be have roughness that would cause bleeding. Especially sometimes a woman after childbirth, she might have a cut during childbirth, especially if she's cut in the cervix and stitches. That could easily cause bleeding. Or stam. Stam sensitivity that might cause an abrasion, a little cut that would cause bleeding, and especially even more so during bedikos. Often in bedikos, especially if the woman is, you know, does too many bedikos and, you know, is not relaxed during bedikos, the bedika could make a cut. Again, I don't mean a cut that a doctor would consider medically a problem. You know, a tiny cut is not actually a legit medical problem from a medical perspective, but how often would it's a maka? You know, if I had one drop of blood coming out of my finger, I couldn't go to a doctor and say I have a medical problem. So if you have one drop of blood coming out of the studen, you can't go to the doctor and say it's a medical problem, but it is a maka, right? It's not damnit, it's not maka from the studen. So then it gets very tricky. How do you know if you do a bedika when it's down from the studen, when not? We'll see in Siv Zayin a little more. But the basic principle is you have to have a maka that you know is bleeding. How do you have a maka that you know is bleeding? So if you have like a cut with stitches, etc., and it's common that when something touches that, it makes it bleed, you know, for a certain amount of time, we can call that a maka that we know is bleeding. After all, a cut bleeds just because you stitched it up. You know, it's still shaykh to bleed. Otherwise, sometimes, we'll get to the Sif Zayin, but it's very hard to tell if a woman does a bedika and it comes out with blood, and she sort of suspects, she doesn't think it's still her period. She suspects it's a maka, but, you know, can't prove that she has a maka, much less a maka that's known as motzi adam. So one option would be that you'd have to have an examination, right? If you go to the doctor can examine, and the doctor can see the maka, and the doctor says, oh, I see something in the tzedakah. Either, if you see something, blood's coming out, you know it's a maka that's bleeding. You don't know if it was bleeding at the time she found that blood, but it's bleeding in general. Or even if the doctor says, I see a maka, and this is the kind of maka that would typically bleed when you do a bedika, then that's good enough. You can be told on that. Okay, going to a doctor, since it's not a legit medical problem, is often not so, you know, not so practical. Usually you can only go to the doctor if you have a legit medical problem. But they have nowadays something called bodkot tahara, or bodeket. A bodeket is someone who took a course to be trained by, you know, in some, Torah organization, like a few of them, Mahopua, etc. And they're people who are midwives or nurses or have some, you know, experience with the medical side of things, who just take a little course to learn a little of these halachos to know how to check people. And nowadays, there's something called a bodeket. In the old days, it might be very hard. Like a woman would find a drop in the bedika and wouldn't know if it was a maka or not and would have to be machmer because she doesn't have a maka, she'd do a shemotzi adam. Nowadays, if you're in that situation, then she can go to a bodeket, and the bodeket just has an instrument that looks inside the Beis HaChitzon and can see if she has a maka or not. And if the bodeket sees that she has a maka, then, and the bodeket says, oh, this is a maka, that typically would bleed. You know, again, she doesn't know for sure, but regilim, this is a maka, that regilim nashim to bleed from this maka, when they, then she could be told in that maka. So l'maksa, if a woman, again, we'll have to add something in Siv Zayin, but if a woman has a, if she knows she has a maka that typically bleeds in the Beis HaChitzon, she could be told in that. If she thinks she has a maka, just based on circumstantial evidence, you know, it doesn't seem like this should be period blood, but she has no evidence of a maka, then she'd have to go to a bodeka. The bodeka says this is a maka that looks like it should be, it would be, it is, or would be, Motzi Adam, then you can be makel. Okay, in those cases, you'd have to go to the bodeka right away, because since these are very small things, they heal right away and disappear. Unless they're very bad. So you won't want to go to bodeka right away. You know, it's not always worth the schlep. If you think it'll be better tomorrow, then it might just be worth waiting until tomorrow and losing one day. But if necessary, it is an important resource.
Suzanne, if she feels something like irritation during the
bedika? Let me get to that in a moment, okay? Yeah.
If a woman has a cut, let's say, you allowed to just return to having be with your husband for as long as she wants? Meaning so until she feels that it
if she has, if she
keeps seeing blood?
Right, so if she has a makash yadushim on tziyadam, then remember, our whole context is Riyah Machas Tashma. She can be,
right, you can just keep
she
going,
can be with her husband, and even if she finds blood, it's no problem.
And then she will realize when it's her period. Like that, so I mean, again, that's when it's going to end.
If the competition is a cut in the Beis HaChitzon, then you're not going to confuse that with the period, because that's a tiny amount of blood, and the period is a large amount of blood. So it's going to be very clear what's what. Yet if we're talking about, a big, terrible disease in the makor, then it gets tricky. Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about a cut in the Beis HaChitzon, even like a cut that's going to last a long time, but we're talking about drops, you know, it's not gushing blood. So it'll be very clear when her period comes that that's different. We'll get to that in a moment. Okay, let's just finish up Se'if. But this does come up, this very Lamaisa. And again, there are those, I'll speak a little more in some of the this very Lamaisa. Again, number one, in the Makor, if you have a terrible disease, not as common, or slightly more common, tiny surgical, not surgical, like an operative procedure. In the Makor, you could be Tola. And number two, in the Beis HaChitzon, in the Stadim, this is a common thing that people have sensitivity and get cuts. Or after childbirth, there are cuts. And then you could be Tola, but you need to have a basis. You know, no doctor is going to tell you anything if it's just a cut. You'll have to go to Bodeket and find evidence of a cut. Or after childbirth, you'll have to know from the doctor after childbirth. They'll tell you, you know, there's a cut, I stitched it up, etc. And then that is, that can be grounds to be tola on. The end of the Rama. Umikal makom, however, he says, this is from all the Bali Tosos and the Rishoni Ashkenaz, the Shas Vesta, not all Rishonim agree with this. The Rashba disagrees with what we're about to read, and the Rambam, it's not clear, it's a machlokas. Beis Yosef and Shach, what he holds, but at the very least, most Tosfos and all the Ashkenazic Rishonim agree. The Rashba at least disagrees, but we pass like Tosfos and the Ashkenazic Rishonim. B'shas Vesta, Mishloshim Yom, Mishloshim Yom, Eino Tol Makasa. Okay, no, it's the time of the Olam. This is if it's the Shas Vesta or the Onabeninus, 30 days for a woman out of SS, then you can't be told in a Maka even if you know it's Motzi Adam. Why not? Because reductio ad absurdum. Let's say she has a maka, then you can be told on it. You know it's Motzi Adam, right? And again, some fibroid tumor, whatever, you know, that's really, or some terrible internal problem. So you'll be told on Adam every day the rest of her life. But that doesn't make sense. She has to get her period eventually. Like, it just doesn't, it technically, each day it makes sense to be told on the maka, but on the whole it doesn't make sense. It's some sort of tarti desasri. Each day you're told on the maka, but it can't be every day told on Maka, because eventually she has to get a period. And therefore, we're machmir that when the Veset comes, or when the Onabeninus comes, then we have to assume it's the period just because of reductio ad absurdum, because otherwise she'll never have a period, and that's impossible. The Chavos Das, the big chumra here, in Sifkat and Lamed Beis of Pesach Tshuva, says if the Veses comes, or if 30 days comes, or more than 30 days. Even if on day 30 nothing happened, if on day 31 something happened, that logic still lasts because she has to get her period eventually. So up to day 30 or up to the Veses, what do you mean? Why do you think she got her period? But on the Veses or after day 30, she has to get her period eventually, and we'd be machmer. The Nodi Yehuda Gimel second Lama Gimel says, I'm going to tell you what he says in general before I tell you his example. He says, of course, this is only if there's no other way to know whether it's the damach or the period. So he says, for example, if it comes without a hargasha, and she generally gets a hargasha when she gets her period, then obviously, then you can be told it forever, because you'll know when she got her period, she gets her hargasha. Or if this is a little blood, and her period's generally a lot of blood, then you can be told it forever, because there's no reductio ad absurdum. At a certain point, you'll see a lot of blood, you'll see her period. So if there's a way to differentiate between period blood and the maka blood, then you'll say, oh, I could be told at any time on the maka, because when the period comes, I'll be able to tell. But if there's mamish, no way to tell, you know, say if you have like some cut, then you don't have to worry. Like, you'll be able to tell whether it's the period or the cut, you know, cut on the outside. But if you have some big thing that causes a ton of bleeding from the inside, which is what the Rambam was envisioning, then you'll never be able to tell if you get your period, and then you have to keep this chumrah, this logical chumrah of the Baal Tosfos, the most Rishonim. And when the period of the unobeinus comes, you'd have to be machmir just because it's illogical to be makel forever.
Practically, how does it work? Let's say someone's bleeding consecutive days. Do they stop? Do they first of all, count themselves as tameah on the first day that comes, whether that's a besis, muflag, or beinonis, whatever it is? If she's bleeding on consecutive days and knows she has a maka, and it gets closer to her period time, whichever day comes first, that is her Veses Sheino Kavua, we assume that first day.
No, he means only a Veses Kavua or an Onabeinonis, not an Eino Kavua. But and either then, a Veses Kavua or an Onabeinonis will come at some point.
But then the end of it also, when does she stop?
Ah, that's the tricky part. That's the super duper tricky part. Now again, I'm not saying this happens all the time, but this is a super duper tricky part because let's first discuss very, very much the Kitzer Nimrutz, the case here. Remember, the Ramah's envisioning a maka in the mukkar. Again, not a surgical procedure that for like 24 hours bleeds. Like, that's not the big deal. No, she has some terrible disease and she's like bleeding all the time. Which, again, in modern medicine is not so likely to happen because at a certain point that'll cure you. Or at least like have a very good diagnosis and etc. But in that case, you have a problem because when the Onad Beinonis comes or the Vesesh Kavua comes, she'll have to assume she got her period, and she'll never be able to become Tahora again. Because once she assumes she got her period, she has a Tuma, until she does a Hefsek Tara, she gets a clean Bedika, she'll never get a clean Bedika. So she is in big trouble. And the big debate, tons of lumdas, and all the Achronim, maybe we'll come back to it in Kotzadi, Vav, is there any room to be Makel, since we never actually know she got her period? We just assume she got her period? Maybe there's room to be makel to say there's some way to wait a certain amount of days and think her period stops, etc. Okay. The lemaisa, that doesn't, it's a big machlok zachron. If you look at the Pesach Tshuva someplace, one second. No, it's definitely here someplace. Ah, here we are. Lamed Beis says the Chavos Das. Once she becomes a nida, she's stuck until she gets a clean bedika. And if she keeps bleeding, she's dead. Right? Okay, a lot of us will argue on that. Lemaisa, that's not the main cases nowadays. The main cases nowadays are, let's say she has a cut in a studim. How does she get a hefsekara? Right? How does she stop being a nida? So, that's the more common case nowadays. She has some cut in the studim, and you know what? Every time she does a bedika, it irritates the cut even more. And she's like really stuck with this annoying little cut someplace. Now, again, not with a terrible tumor or a terrible disease or a terrible injury that bleeds all the time from some inner organ. Less likely. She's stuck with some cut in a studim, and how does she stop being a nida? She got her period. The period is a regular flow. The regular flow ended. How does she prove her period ended? Every time she does a bedika, she has a little red. So how does she prove her period ended? So the mainstream, this is a big question. There are those minority shitas out there that say maybe if like she does a bedika and she can tell that she's pretty sure that she's only finding maka blood, not period blood. That could be good enough to be matara her, to count as a hefsek tara. That's not so mainstream. The mainstream halacha is that in order to become tahora, after you are a nida, you need mamash a clean bedika. Why? Because you're becheskas bleeding, and you can't prove you stop bleeding until you get a clean bedika. Even if the bedika has a little blood and you think it's from a maka, even if you know it's from a maka, how do you know there's also blood from a period? Right? So you need a clean bedika. At least, probably two clean bedikas. A hefsek tara, and then the bedika during Shiva Nikim. How do you get a clean bedika nowadays? What do you do nowadays if a woman has an injury? Again, if the woman has a bleeding injury in the makor, that's very, very tricky. Let's say she has a bleeding injury in the tzaddi. How does she get a clean, how does she become tahor again? The answer is, the minhag nowadays is that she goes to a bodeket. What does the bodeket do? Or a doctor. I'm saying bodeket's more convenient. The bodeket can actually, doesn't take a cloth and do a bedika. The bedeka just looks inside, better than a cloth, right? Ain't a dome, shmiel re'iyah. The bodeka just uses an instrument to look inside and see exactly what's going on. You know what the bodeka will say? Yeah, I see there's a little bleeding cut, but I see no blood is coming out of the makor. That's considered a good hefsek tara. That's considered a valid bedeka. So what should a woman do nowadays if she's having trouble getting out of nida status, because blood's coming out of the uterus because of some terrible disease? That's a big deal in the Achronim. You have to go to the Gedolei HaDor to Paskin on that. But not so common. If more common, she's having trouble getting out of Nida status because there's this pesky cut, and every time she does a bedika, it opens it again, and she doesn't know what to do, then the mainstream halacha says she has to go to a bodeket who will do a visual bedika, and she can be makel based on that. Halacha l'maisa, the proper thing to do is, if at all possible, to go to a bodeka twice. Once to do a hefsek tara, and once to do a bedika during Shiva Nikim. Once hefsek tara before Shiva Nikim, and then tomorrow during Shiva Nikim, or, on a later day during Shiva Nikim. If one can only make it to a hefsek to a bodeka once, okay, there's a lot of literature, etc. But that's the proper thing to do in this case, is go to a, go to bodeka, do a hefsek tara, okay? Then you're ready to start Shiva Nikim, right? Then let it heal, let the cut heal a little, wait till day 7 of Shiva Nikim, do a bedika then, maybe by then it'll be healed, or go to bodeka then, and get a clean bedika visually through a bodeka. But it's pasha that a visual bedika for a bodeka is even better than a bedika with a cloth. And then, even if there's blood on the tzadim, since the bodeket sees that it's from the tzadim, and sees, it, not just she sees the blood from the tzadim, she sees there's no blood coming out of the makor, therefore that's a valid bedika. It's amazing what you can see with these instruments.
Why don't we say the same, like you had observed in Makula, say she's not going to be benida forever?
Because reductio ad absurdum is not a proof of anything, it's just a ma'akev to be makel.
But it's not makif to be
mach. Right, that's the problem. Okay. Because you can't be makel forever because you'll violate the halacha. But you can be machir forever, you won't be violating the halacha. So that's the problem. Again, there are those who say that if she's not sure she ever became a nida only because of this ramah, then she can just wait the amount of days that she's sure her period ended, and that will be good enough because, pesha asur or pesha hitter, as it were. She's just as sure now as she was then. But that's very controversial. Okay. At the very end, he says, k'samim tolo b'chol inyan, a kesem, which is very mako. You could be tola in any case. In any case means, even if something just hurts a little, you don't even know if it's a maka. That's the Pesach Tshuva quotes in Sifkatan Lamed Dalid. Even a very, very slight hint is enough to be told that a kesem. Okay, sif vav. Okay, so this sif hey, and we'll get to sif zayin, are very, very halach lamaisa. Sif vav. Nemenes isha lomer maki isha losa makim shadam yotzi mena. Okay, that's the quote from the Gemara. Right? We already discussed this. And she's nemenes. Why shouldn't she be nemenes? There's a fascinating discussion that's on sofa here in sif katan lamed hey. What about another woman? Here's the mother of the woman. Is she also nemenes to say that she found the maka? Right? Or is only the woman herself? I'm sober, says the Rapashut. No, Eidach and Amisurid. Anyone's nemenes, right? It could be a bodeket, it could be a doctor, it could be etc. Anyone's nemenes to say that anyone is meant to say that that there's a maka because eid echad nema bisurim. V'chein the Rama adds in omerit pori li she'in dam zavam na makor neminis the Torah. Likewise, the one says, I'm sure it's not from the makor. She is the menace. This is very super controversial. All the achronim disagree with this Rama. All the achronim disagree. The Torah Sashlamim here says, Kane Hotzi Ravidarki Moshe, etc. Volba MS or of Kitzer Ataka, the Rav didn't really, Rama didn't really quote a source properly, and the Mari Weil just said maybe, but he didn't really say he was sure it's mutter. The Dungman of on the side also says, I mean, Tamal Rama, Mari Weil just said Derek Pilpul, maybe. You know, basically, the Mari Weil says maybe she's believed to say it's not from the Makar. And then the Rama says she's definitely believed. The Achronim don't like this Rama. What do you mean she's believed to say it's not from the Makar? If she knows where it's from, let her say where it's from. I have a Maka. Just to say where it's not from, like, it's not that we think she's lying. It's just like, how does someone really know that it's not from the Makar? Can you really feel that it's not from the Makar? So they're very specific about it. Halach l'maisa in Sevkat and Lamed Vav, basically, Chilva quotes the Torah Shlom, whatever they read, the Chavos Das, I can read if I open to the back, who disagree with this Ramah. She's Naman if she says, I know where the Dam might be from. To just say, I know it's not Dam Nida without saying, but it is something else, we assume she's not Naman. Okay, he concludes here, quotes from some Achron, if there's other stuff in Mahakal you can make up, but in general, it's not enough for the woman to say, I'm sure it's not blood, menstrual blood from the Makar. I'm sure it's not blood that came out of the Makar. No, she has only Naman if she says where it is from.
I'm not sure this is a question now, but if she's claiming that it's not coming from the Makor, then doesn't that mean that it must not have come with the Habasha, because otherwise it would have come from the Makor, and then it's Kesem, so...
No, but let's say she found it during a Bedika, and so there may have been a Hagasha she didn't notice because of the Bedika. Okay, Zayin. Im Kolzman, this is the actual tshuva of the Trumas Hadeshen, not in the book Trumas Hadeshen, in... But nowadays, in the back of the Trusesh, they print Chilav Beis, Kilav, further shut of Maria Rav, where we saw this. Im Kozman Shibadesh, Chalachurma, Stokin, Inamotzas, Kisom, Kiyav, Amok, Mechab, and Stodin. This is a common thing. A woman does a Bedika, and all the Choran Stokin, she checks all the cracks and crevices, and it always comes out with, like, on one point on the side, a little blood. Yesh Litlos, Shemi Makash, Vosot, Sadva. You can assume it's coming from a Maka on that side. So she does a Bedika, on one point, always, it's a pattern. More than once, more than twice, perhaps. It's a pattern, she always finds the blood on one side. How many times do you need to be a pattern? Most the Achronim say three, although, you know, B'shas HaChak can make it with two. Then she can assume it's a Maka, because, like, why would it always be on that side? Like, Dam from the uterus should be in the middle of the B'dika cloth. Or you could have found it dripping to the side. Meaning, if you do a bedika once and find blood on the side, that could be down from the makor. It had dripped down to that place on the side, and then you found it. But if you always find it on the side, then what, every time that it came from the makor and it dripped down to a certain place on the side, and you always found it there, that's too much of a coincidence. It must be that it's coming from a little cut in that place.
Isn't it normal that blood goes in a certain direction? Like, you know, every flashlight you have, the water goes in the same place.
Interesting question.
Especially in
the
cracked
surface. No, but keep in mind, in a flash flood, the earth is pretty stationary. But people are always moving, so their directions always change. I'm not convinced that it's equally likely, right? I'm always moving around, so every part of my body is always a different angle.
Evidence that she needs?
What?
This is the only evidence that she needs?
This is the only evidence. Now he adds the Shulchan Aruch. Mikol shekein im margeshes b'shas b'dika k'shenugas b'tzad ha'mokim ahu kod v'laktas v'shar chonus doken im margesh kein klal. And kol shekein if she does the b'dika and at a certain point when she turns and presses a certain way it hurts a little and it doesn't hurt everywhere else, then obviously it's for a mucker in that place. Then it goes without saying. Okay, but remember, kol shekein means it's not necessary, right? Kol shekein is mutter if she feels something in that spot. But even if not, it's mutter. Okay, here we get a big machlokas. The Pesach Chuvas Akot Lamed Zayin quotes from the Noda Bihuda. Says the Noda Bihuda. He says, Could you just explain
one more time when she would go to the bodegas versus when she believed herself?
So for example, what if it's not the case of Zayin? She doesn't always find it on one particular spot in one corner of the cloth. But she still thinks it's a maka. Then she would have to go to a bodegas. Basically, if she doesn't have the beer of Siv Zayin, then she'd have to go to a bodekat. Now, but is this beer of Siv Zayin really valid or not? So the Nodbi Huda says this only means if she knows she has a maka. He's making a lot of assumption. He's assuming the Mechaber holds like the Mordechai, that you're not told on a maka unless you know it's Motzi Adam, and then the Chiddush of the Mechaber is, but if you always find it in the same spot, you can be tola, even if you don't know it's Motzi Adam. The Rabbi Yehuda here is a big chumri. He says, you can't use this kula being told on the same spot unless you knew there was a maka beforehand. If you know there's a maka beforehand, why do you need additional evidence? Because the Mechaber holds like the Mordechai, which is not what most Achronim assume. The Mechaber holds like the Mordechai, that a maka alone is not enough. You don't know it's Motzi Adam. So if it's a maka alone, then you need additional evidence. Basically, the Nodbi Yehuda takes all the usefulness out of this kula. What woman knows she has a maka beforehand? She all of a sudden just finds blood in a weird place in the Medina cloth. So the Node, the Behuda, basically says this is not a useful machaber for us, because only if she knows she has a maka beforehand. Most Achronim disagree with him. The Gra here says, Im v'chuli, in Sivkat Yudches, k'mo v'bdikas ha-shmoferes hanal. What did the Gra say? Gra says, this is nothing with maka. This is like a bdikas shmoferes. It proves it's from the side. A bedikas shvoferes has nothing to do with maka. It's just a proof that it's from the side. Here, it's a proof that it's from the side. How do you prove it's from the side? Because you always find it on the side, in the same place. That's like finding on the side of the shvoferes. So this is the heter in and of itself, and a number of other achronim from the Bach, the Orcha Shulchan, and a few in between, disagree with the Nodbi Huda. Halacha lemaisa. The poskim are nervous to go against this Nodeb Yehuda. Halacha lemaisa, the poskim assume that we should be machmir, and I know Rabbi Willick told me this, we should be machmir a little like the Nodeb Yehuda. And therefore, even if she finds it on a certain spot in the bedikah cloth more than once, don't be makel. So when can we be makel? Well, even the Nodeb Yehuda would agree if it's the kol shekain, if she also feels something in that spot, then everyone would agree could be makel. Come on, that's an absolute proof. Or he says, if you have any evidence, if you have any other reason to think there might be a maka, then you don't have to be choshish for the Nodeb Yehuda. Like if you add like any little piece of evidence, then you don't have to be choshish for the Nodeb Yehuda. So what could be a big piece of evidence like it hurts her in that spot, or a little piece of evidence like, you know, she has some infection which might often cause sensitivity that would lead to cuts, or there's some reason to think she might have an abrasion there, or, you know, she felt something like she felt previously in a time she had a cut. So basically, halacha l'maisa, we are a little machmir for the Nodeb Yehuda, and therefore, if you have a pattern of a dot on the side without pain, you should be machmir, unless you have some other evidence that hints that it might be a maka. Okay, so usually, if a woman really does have a little cut, she'll probably feel something or have some other evidence. Okay, so lemaisa, we are mako in the kol shekain case, pasha we're mako. If she touches a certain side and it hurts her, then obviously that's we know that's a maka. You know, if it was just damnida that happened to drip there, why would it hurt when she touched that side? But if she just finds it two or three times, on a certain spot, then we're makel if we can find a little additional evidence to bolster the theory that it is a maka. Lemaisa, what if a woman finds something, a spot on the side of the bedikah cloth, and thinks it might be a maka? We would tell her, do another two bedikas. See if it always comes out like that. You know, and if it always comes out like that, And there's perhaps some reason to think, you know, even a small reason. You know, there was, I don't know what it was, a painful tashmish, you know, the day before or something, or, you know, a yeast infection, or, you know, this happens to her often, or something like that, then we would be mekel. Even if you don't have the kol of kolshkin in case pashut would be mekel. You know, she touches it and it hurt, and she always finds it in that spot. Okay, then obviously that's it. But even if it doesn't hurt in that spot, if there's some slight other evidence, then we're making like push-up shot in the mechaber against the Nodeb Yehuda. But if there's no other slight evidence, then we're nervous to be making against the Nodeb Yehuda. That's Sif Zayin. Sif Ches. And Tirtzelis Rapos. Sarshi Yakodim Shittus Chazek. What if she wants to go to the doctor and get cured? He doesn't mean cure to the maka, right? The doctor doesn't have to cure you of the maka. If the doctor diagnoses the maka, that's good enough. You're told of a maka. He means you want to go to the doctor and cure the Ro Machos Tashmish. Doctor says, oh, you have Ro Machos Tashmish? I know how to cure it. Right? I'm sure nowadays they give you some pill that will stop you from being Ro Machos Tashmish, whatever the case may be. Sarshia Kodunshah is Chazik. If she wants to go to the doctor, it has to be before it happens three times. Even nowadays, it's always good to go to the doctor before it happens three times, because whatever, why do you want to be in a bad halachic situation? Aval Afshin is Chazik, but technically, what's the problem? Yish Mestapkim, Motor Lismoch al Rafu, Lishamash Achar Kach. The Achroni Ashkenaz, the Smag, and others are Mesopak, or they rely on the doctors. If the doctor's cured after once or twice, you don't have to rely on them. Let's say it happened twice and they cured it, then it won't happen a third time. There's no need to rely on the doctors. If it didn't happen a third time, she's Muteris. Right, if they cure it before it happens three times, then it's muteris because it didn't happen three times. Problem is, if it already happened three times, she's becheskes isser to her husband, she has to get divorced. Then the doctor says he cures it. Now the question is, do we believe the doctor that he cured it? Right, we can't do an experiment to try, because if she's isser to her husband, she's not allowed to sleep with him and do an experiment. So, if we trust the doctor, then she's muteris to her husband, it's cured. The Ro Machos Tashmish went away. But if we don't trust the doctor, or if we're not sure if we trust the doctor, then she's still becheskes isser. So says the Smag, after three times, we're not sure if we trust the doctor. V'yesh v'shamater marmala rofe yisrael nisrapes. But this is the Ritzbah. The Ritzbah, one of the Bali Tosso, says, if the Jewish doctor, we trust him. And what does the Ritzbah say? The Ritzbah says, this is regular Eidechonem and Bisurin. If it's a Jewish doctor, I would add a from Jewish doctor, then we trust her. If it's a Goyish doctor or a non-from doctor, then we don't trust her, just like in all areas of Isser Heter. You know, same as if you want to know if the meat was kosher. Right, so according to the Ritzbah, a Jewish doctor we trust, a Goyish doctor, no. But according to the first day in the Shulchan Aruch, and keep in mind, the Ritzbah was brought as a Yesh Bishamater. The Smag and the other Rishon were brought as Stam. Oh no, Yesh Bistopkin, sorry, they're both Yesh. According to the first day in the Shulchan Aruch, so they're even, Yesh Bistopkin, the Yesh Bishamater. But according to the first day in the Shulchan Aruch, even a Jewish doctor we don't trust. Why don't we trust even a Jewish doctor? Isn't Eidach Adam and Bisurin? So,
it's Tavar Sheva Erva.
No, we assume that he is not Tavar Sheva Erva. I know Tosos at least had a Havim, you know, like that. But we assume that he does Isurin. Like the, you know, the Pashup shot of the Tosos and getting up Bez and Bez and most of the wines. And even when he says a Havim, it's like Tavar Sheva Erva. So, because usually when it comes to trusting someone, you're trusting someone on something they saw with their own eyes, that they're made it. Eid Echonem and Bisurim, if the aid says, I saw it was Shechted, I saw it wasn't Shechted, I was my first Truma, I wasn't my first Truma. Over here, the doctor's telling you a theory. Meaning, if the doctor says, I did this procedure, I would believe the doctor, Eid Echonem. But the doctor says, I did this procedure and it cured her. How does the doctor know that it cured her? That's not a fact. That's an interpretation. That's a theory. So we're mesupik here. Yes, we believe the doctors about facts. But do we believe the doctor about theories? That's a machlokas. First day it says, we're not sure if we believe doctors about theories. Second day it says, no, we believe a doctor about theories as long as he's Jewish. How do we paskin? We paskin all the achronim paskin like the first day. We don't believe doctors about theories. What do I mean by theories? I don't mean like the theory of gravity. You know, that's very clear. The Pesukei Teshuva earlier said, when there's an established scientific rule, of course we believe the doctors. We don't deny gravity just because it's from scientists. We don't deny basic rules of medicine. But here we mean a theory about a particular patient. if there's a theory about this patient, the doctor says, I theorize that this patient is cured. There's no rule in the medical textbooks that says whenever you do this, they're cured. The doctor theorizes a patient is cured. If it's a Goyish doctor, we never believe a Goyish doctor. What if it's a Jewish doctor? That's who days in the Shulchan Aruch were machmir. We don't believe a Jewish doctor who theorizes about the case. What if the doctor is not theorizing, but is applying rules of medicine? Then we do believe him. What are two examples? Number one, if there's evidence, like she stops getting her period legamrei and her whole body changed. If she stops getting her period legamrei, then obviously he did something. Then even if it's a guy, you believe him because there's evidence. Or the Shacht in Chavkes quotes from the Bach, if this doctor, and there's some debate, but the principle is clear, this doctor has done this procedure before and cured someone else, then it's not a theory. Then it's already evidence. After all, if last time he did this procedure to a similar woman and cured her, then there's no guarantee, but it's mistaken that this time it'll cure her. Obviously, Kol Shekain, if this procedure was done hundreds of times, it worked.
I'm just going to say, if there's three times, how could you say it's
exactly? Three times, for sure, but the Kiddush is even one time.
How often nowadays are there doctors who do things that they've never done or seen before?
So, here's the tricky part, meaning doctors don't invent procedures now. There's some procedures that always work. There's some procedures that work half the time. And then the doctor might say, but I think this time it worked. And then it would be a case where it would be machlokes, you know. If we're not, you know, or works a quarter of the time. The doctor says, but my sense is that this time, I think this time it worked. Then, you're right, in modern medicine, meaning it's much more rule-based. So Adi's pointing out that modern medicine, generally, they do things that they've tried more than once before, that they or someone else has tried 100 times before. Although not necessarily. Meaning, it all depends. But yes, if the doctor does, let's just chaz it for a second, if the doctor does a accepted procedure that we have outside knowledge of what happens, then we believe him. If the doctor does something which is a pure judgment call, then that's a machlokesin 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a pure judgment call without any evidence. And then we're taka machmir, and we do not believe the doctor.
A fact-based case, you wouldn't believe a non-Jew?
Aha. What about a non-Jew? Good question. Agav, let me... this case comes up similarly. Let me just point out that Chassam Sofer was quoted in Sukkot Lamed earlier. He says, when doctors have general rules of science, we believe them. When the doctor has a judgment about one particular case, not that he has a judgment on one case because it fits the rules. He has a judgment on one particular case, that Chassam Sofer says we don't believe him. If he told them to eat on Yom Kippur, we believe him, because even if he might be right, Safek Bura Nefesh Dofi Yom Kippur, if he told them they needed an operation, to go to the hospital on Shabbos, we believe him, because even if he might be right, meaning when a doctor says someone has Pikuach Nefesh, we always believe him, because the doctor might be right, and Safek Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. So we're now talking Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh, the doctor says, this person needs to go to the hospital, this person needs to eat on Yom Kippur, we don't question him. We say, at the very least, it's a suffix that the person's life is in danger, and so we go to the hospital and we drive on Shabbos and feed him on Yom Kippur. That's easy, says the Chassam Sofer. But we're not talking about that, Pikuach Nefesh. We're talking about when it's Pikuach Nefesh, we believe the doctor, Manashach, if the doctor's right, he's right. And if he's not right, he's still suffix right. So it's suffix Pikuach Nefesh. What if it's not Pikuach Nefesh, like Hilchos Nida or other things? And then the Chassam Sofer says, of course we believe established rules of science. But do we believe the doctor's judgment in one particular instance? Chassam Sofer says, no, we can't be sure the doctor's right about this instance. And that's generally accepted. When the doctor's not telling us a fact and not telling us something that's in the rule books, he's just telling us what he thinks about this case, which is a little rarer nowadays. Once upon a time, doctors made up everything as they went along. The truth is, I don't blame all the Echorim for not believing doctors so much. What do the doctors know then? You know, you really have to wonder, you know. When Rav Lichtenstein once pointed out to me, says in the Ramban, sort of questioned how much to rely on doctors. I don't know how much I would have relied on his doctors. But you know, if nowadays most of the time the doctors are either telling you facts or established medical rules, you know, that, oh, of course this causes that. Like, we now have organized science with evidence-based medicine. So it's pretty rare, but if the doctor would be making a stam judgment call, if it's about pikuach nefesh, then we'll believe him because even suffik is pikuach nefesh. But if the doctor makes a stam judgment call, then it's not so pasha to rely on him, even if he's from Yid, for Isser Heter purposes, because maybe the judgment call of the doctor is not Eidech Adem Bisurin, it's just a theory. And there's no rule that you follow every person's theory. So that gets very tricky. So each case is a little different, and, sometimes these need a question from, a Gamal Ador, in difficult cases. But as a general rule, if a doctor, it's pretty rare nowadays the doctor stam theorizing. The doctor stam theorizes, stam has a judgment call, but he can't say it's based on a pattern of other cases or a rule, then we would not believe him. That's the upshot of this. How about a non-Jew? What are the Shulchan Aruch saying? He says, both they will say pasha, we wouldn't believe a guy, and forget about a guy, right? If a Jew's not from, and it's also the same thing, right? Why would he warn him and then a guy, right? He doesn't believe in the Torah. So he says, it's pasha, both days agree, you can never trust a Goyish doctor. So what about nowadays Goyish doctors? So that's a big machlokes of the poskim nowadays. However, nowadays, the truth is, if someone's a guy you're not from, we still can't believe them stam. They might lie. Why might they lie? You should know, by the way, when it comes to chesnida, you really have to worry about non-from people or Goyish people lying. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to worry about the non-from people more than the Goyish people. Because, the Goyish people say, well, that's your religion, so I respect it. The non-from Jews say, that's my religion, and I know you don't have to do it. So it's unfortunately, the world out there, you often get more respect for religion from Goyim, because it's not my tchum, I'm not a baldea. Than from non-from Jews, who are like, I'm just as Jewish as you and I know you don't have to keep Shabbos. Either way, it's a big problem nowadays, especially in Israel. I mean, there are from people in Israel, and places where there's a lot of Jews, or etc., where they don't have Yir Shamayim, what do they care if you do an Aveira? And B, Adrabah, they're being nice, they're being kind to humanity. What will the nurse say? Nurse will say, I don't believe in God b'chlal, whatever, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the Torah, I have my own religion. I don't believe in God b'chlal. I think this is all shtus. And this poor lady, why should she have to separate from her husband and go through all this difficulty? Let me be nice to her and do an act of chesed and lie to her about whether she's anita. And this actually does happen in hospitals nowadays, that the non-from nurses or the non-Jewish nurses will purposely lie to you about anita, because they think they're being nice and they're doing chesed with someone, right? After all, if someone had some shtus that didn't really exist, maybe it would be nice to fool them about the shtus and let them enjoy life. So, unfortunately, that's what the non-Torah people think about the Torah. So you have to be very wary of these things. So you have to be very wary of relying on the non-from doctors and nurses, because ma'isim choyom, they could lie nowadays out of goodness of the heart. But unfortunately, the goodness of the heart comes from a tremendous kilkel of the seichel. However, that's when it comes to things that aren't really medical issues. Like you just ask the nurse, is there blood? And you can't trust them. When it comes to real medical things, the assumption is nowadays, when it comes to real medical things, there are charts, there are records, the doctors have to be professional, they wouldn't, even though some people say, the goyim, you can't trust them, even an uman in the doctors. That was in the old days. Nowadays, things are very official in hospitals about medical things. So real medical things, the minig is when real medical things we trust. The doctor and nurses are not going to lie about an actual medical procedure that they write on the chart. That's something super duper, 1 to 1 million odds unlikely. So nowadays, what if they're not from or not Jewish? So the answer is it depends. If it's a real medical report, what procedure did you do? Right? Or how do you do this procedure, which anyone can look up on the internet, then you believe them. If it's stam, did you notice if, was there blood or not? Then you cannot believe them, because that's not a real medical question. So if it's not a real medical question, adrabi, you have to be choshe them of lying out of niceness. But if it's a real medical question, then, you ask the doctor, what procedure did you do? Write down what procedure you did. Then you have to be choshe that he's lying and he really did a different procedure that's different in Hilchos Nida. Because doctors wouldn't lie nowadays about actual medicine. But if it's not a medical question, it's just like a side question for your personal religious needs, then you can't trust them.
Because you ask the doctor where is the blood coming from. Like she asked where she wants to know where the blood's coming from.
Right, so if you ask the doctor where the blood's coming from, if the doctor says, oh, this procedure always causes blood from whatever this is the procedure I'm doing, then you can trust them. That's a medical fact. But if the doctor says, oh, I looked and this is where the blood's coming from, then if they're not from or not Jewish, unfortunately you can't trust them. Because I'm telling you, like, these stories have happened. And it makes sense they would happen.
Rabbi Forrest writes almost on every page that you can't trust doctors and you have to ask your rav.
Right, he meant, right, just have to ask a shiloh about anything. So again, we don't have to be like so anti-every, whatever. If they're telling something serious medical, you know, a real medical fact, we can trust them. They wouldn't lie about their actual medicine. But if they're just telling us, information that's not medical, then you have to be choshed that they might be lying. And unfortunately, it's not just a formal rule. It's a practical rule, and you can't trust them. Okay.
Is there any way to do Maseach Lefitumo for these doctors? Maybe in America?
Not really. They went to medical school. They're not dumb.
They don't know Nidus, I'm saying.
Aha.
Here, probably they do in America.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's going to be tricky. It's going to be tricky to get them to Maseach Lefitumo. I don't know. Lemaisa, sometimes you don't have to rely on them. Like, for example, the nurse might say there was no blood, and you didn't see any blood, so you can rely on her because you don't have to rely on her if you didn't see any blood. You're Becheskes Tara, right? But if you'd have to rely on them, like, for example, a bodeket, you couldn't go to a non-frum nurse and ask her, just check if there's any blood to do a Hefsek Tara for me. You know, no, because then you can't trust them. And that's not a medical opinion, right? So then, if you can say, tell me if I have this disease, then you can trust them. Okay, that's the bottom line nowadays. That's the bottom line. Okay, so what do we say? Even for a frum doctor, you can trust a frum doctor if she's telling you a fact or something that's in the medical textbooks or something that has a pattern of working. But if it's just a stam judgment call, then questionable, and we can't vaday trust them. Then we can't rely on them stam. When it comes to a non-Jewish doctor, we can't rely on them about anything that they're saying stam as like a person. But if they're saying a medical fact, then we can rely on them because they wouldn't lie about the medical facts.
Isn't that what we're doing to the bodekas though? We're asking her for
the bodekas from. A frum doctor, a judgment call, we can't ask. We don't ask bodekas to make a judgment call. We ask her to look and tell us a fact. Right? You can only become a licensed bodekas if you're frum. They don't let non-frum people become bodekas because it wouldn't help. Right? Because a bodekas is reporting facts, not theories. So a frum person, a fact is believed, or a theory that's scientifically based is believed. A stam theory of judgment is questionable. And a non-frum person, a medical fact that you can't lie about is believed, but a stam fact, we'd have to be choshed them lying, unfortunately. Okay, tes is something that we really don't do as manaseh, but it's a story in the Gemara. They did in the Gemara, like on purpose. You know, nowadays you only do it for hiccups. Hifchidua pit om enough min choradam, if they scared her, right, boom, and all of a sudden a clump of blood fell out, nisrapis. Theta masora, this cured Baramach was tashvish. And we terrorist the Bala, and now she'll let her go back to her husband. Even after she failed the chauffeur's test, then three husbands, then all the bad things, this is a cure. However, if it happens to her again, then Iglaim also that it was coincidence, and she wasn't healed, and she's a sur again. There's a machlokas. Do we rely on this mizmanazeh? Maybe we're not experts in this mizmanazeh. And the machaber is machro like the, even though in other places he's not, here, this is a weird thing. So he's machro like the Raiv and the Rabban. This is so weird that we're really not lucky this mizmanazeh. We don't rely on this. Again, even without this, I don't think we would do this. However, we don't rely on this. But if it happened, we wouldn't make her get divorced. We would let her sleep with her husband again. And if she doesn't go back to the problem, we would let her stay. Okay, if we let her stay with her husband, what does it mean we don't rely on it? So the shach has two opinions. Either A, you shouldn't scare her in the first place, Manazeh, or B, if she already got divorced, you shouldn't be Masada Kedusha and let her get remarried with Manazeh. But if she's still married with Manazeh, and then you do this, then she doesn't have to get divorced. Lamaisa, I've never heard of this happening, of anyone scaring a Romach Mustashvish. I never even heard of Romach Mustashvish. but certainly I never heard of her getting scared and getting cured by this procedure, so I would save this procedure for hiccups. It works.
Would the chazaka start again?
No, he says even once would be a problem. Why? Because if she does once, is he going milsa that it wasn't really a cure?
That's scary. Does it work? Can you say it's maybe
a cure? I guess it's probably just a judgment call, like how likely is it that it's a cure? And, you know, it's a good question. Okay, halacha l'maisa, we will, maybe we'll stop here. We'll pick up, we'll add with Sif Yud, which is very long. We'll have one more shir this man, which will be Sunday of Bin Kesel Asar. So we will try on Sunday to get to the end of the Simon, if we can. I know it's very long, but we have today and Wednesday and Thursday to prepare. So I will try on Sunday to get to the end of the Simon, so that we can start with the new Simon in the next man, Bezrat Hashem. And I wish everyone a Ksiv v'chsima tova. We should all be inscribed l'altar, l'chaim tov, l'shalom for a year of a lot of simchas and a lot of growth, and that Hashem should be malei kol mashalos libeinu l'tova.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I thought you were saying hiccups, like strange scenarios.